So as Ben mentioned during worship, this on the church calendar is considered Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the birthday of the church. So let's all say together, happy birthday. Happy birthday, church. Right? The church was born when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples in that upper room, filled them with the energy of God, and then they just began to glorify God, to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Peter preached that first sermon on the day of Pentecost to all the people who gathered because they couldn't figure out, you know, what was happening with these people in this upper room and what was all this noise about this early in the morning. And they said, oh, these people must be drunk because they're so loud and rambunctious, you know. And Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk. They're just filled with God because of what Jesus has done. They're filled with joy. They're filled with the excitement of the gospel message. And the church was born that day. The gospel was preached. And it says, Peter, remember Peter? Remember Peter when Jesus was arrested? Peter who sort of hid in the shadows, and Peter who kept denying he even knew Christ? Peter stood up in front of thousands of people. And the reason we know it's thousands is because it says 3,000 were saved that day. So maybe there are some people who weren't saved, or maybe all 3,000 were saved. But Peter stood up in front of 3,000. He couldn't even stand up to the little servant girl who at the fires, you know, there in the courts when Jesus was arrested, said, aren't you with Jesus? Aren't you one of those guys, one of those disciple guys? And he said, heck no, I don't even know him. I don't even know that Jesus guy. That same Peter got up and preached this sermon. We know he didn't do it in his own power because he was weak like us, like you and me. He was weak in his own power. But when the power of the Holy Spirit was on him and on the other disciples there, they proclaimed the word of God boldly and effectively because people were saved. They didn't just do it to excite themselves and be happy about themselves. They did it because of the compassion of God to save the lost. And God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants to embolden us to share the good news of Jesus so that the lost can be saved. It's not about us. If we're already saved, we're all set. But it's about those who have yet to hear. Right, Anne? Those kids who still don't understand that God loves them and died for them and has a purpose for their life. Those people at your workplace or in your school or in your neighborhood. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at God's word to begin to understand something. Because the title of the sermon is We All Need Each Other, The Power of Praying Together. And the reason it's entitled that way is because the church started from a prayer meeting. The church started when they gathered together to pray. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit. And they went and they waited. And when they were waiting, they weren't playing games on their phone. They weren't sending texts. They weren't scrolling through their social media. They were praying. They had focused themselves on God and waiting on him. Now, we have a hard time with praying, maybe not in your personal life. So I'm going to differentiate two different kinds of prayer this morning. And you'll see actually on your seats, hopefully, or near your seat, there are two different colored papers with that pen that we gave you this morning. And one is white and it says personal prayer. And one is blue and it says public prayer. I actually think you guys are probably pretty good at personal prayer. You know what your personal needs are. You know what the needs of your family are. You know the things that you're struggling with, the things that those who you love are struggling with. And you know how to pray for them because I've prayed with so many of you for those loved ones. And that is a part of prayer. But when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ, that's not the part I'm talking about. That's not the part we're going to look at in God's word this morning. We're going to look at the part of when we're together as a group, when we've gathered, maybe in a living room, maybe in one of the rooms here in the church, or maybe here in this big room, when we've gathered together. We're going to talk about public prayer. Because the elders and I, we're like burdened for the church because the church seems to struggle with public prayer. Not every individual, but as a whole. If we had to give you a report card, you'd be down the D in the F category. Not that we're doing that, but we're trying to figure out where is the power of Pentecost? Where is the power of God in the church? And so we have to sort of go back and look. And I believe that the power is when we pray together for God's will to be done. You know the Lord's Prayer. It's not my Father who is in heaven. It's our Father, right? It's a corporate prayer. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, he didn't say, okay, John, when you pray, you go to Jesus this way. When you pray, Peter, you go this way. When you pray, Luke, you know, he didn't give individual instruction. He instructed them as a group. And he's instructing us as a group through the word of God. We're so individual thinking, and we live most of our lives inside of our little heads thinking about, you know, our stuff, that we forget that the church is a body made up of many members and that God works through all of them to equip us and to inspire us to be a light in this world. So often when we think about our witness, we just think about me, what I can do. And you know what? What I can do is pretty small compared to what we can do. And this is a God concept. This isn't like, you know, a motivational speech here this morning. This is what God designed. He works through a people group. When he began his work in the Old Testament, he began with a family, and then that family grew into a people. And then they were considered God's people, God's nation, right? Well, we are God's people, and we're created for a purpose on the earth. And he works with us corporately as well as individually. So I'm not saying he doesn't care about your individual stuff. Don't get that messed up in your head. He does. We each have an individual relationship with him, but we also have a corporate relationship. And I think we're lacking in our understanding, or at least in our practice of our corporate life together, the practice of praying together. We're really good at singing together. Thank you guys this morning for leading us in worship, and thank you for participating in worship. And it sounds so beautiful and so inspiring, and I always feel better after we've worshiped together. Well, there's this corporate prayer thing that has more power than even singing together, because we then can see God's work being done through his kingdom work in our lives corporately. See, we're thinking of God almost too small. Like we're looking like through the hole in the fence. Like, oh yeah, I see God. And he just wants to like take the whole fence down so you can see even more, right? So that's why we love testimonies. When someone gives a testimony, a personal testimony of their faith, it's like they're sharing with us. They're taking something that's personal and making it corporate, like at baptism. And we're excited about that. There's a certain amount of energy that we don't get any other way. And I believe that corporate prayer is that way as well. You see, the disciples, they knew what they were waiting for, sort of, but not exactly. And that's kind of where we're at. We know God wants us to mature and to grow in this area of being able to pray together, but we're not exactly sure what that means. So we're going to explore this month. We're going to explore in the coming weeks. What does it mean to pray with others effectively and to see God's will being done? So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is where the church was born, there on that day of Pentecost. And in the book of Acts, we're going to look at different verses, in chapters 1 through 4. So we're kind of flip through a couple of pages, but not a lot. So if you can turn there, if you're using the Pew Bible, which I suggest you use if you didn't bring your Bible with you, and we can look together on page 966. So let me find it myself, and then we'll be united in that. Another way we can unite besides singing songs together is reading God's word together. That brings us together as one. So, after Jesus had finished his earthly ministry, you know the story. He ascended into heaven. He went back into heaven. He's seated on his throne in heaven, right? So the disciples were then told to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift that he had talked about. He had talked a lot in the Gospels about the Holy Spirit. I have a gift. I would not leave you. I have a gift for you, right? And the gift is going to be the presence of God, the Holy Spirit himself. So the disciples, they gathered in anticipation of that, not knowing what it would look like exactly, kind of like us, but in anticipation of that. And once the Holy Spirit was given, Christ's church exploded on the scene as a beacon of light and as a beacon of hope and as a beacon of goodness in a spiritually dark world like the one we live in. And God's people, it says in Acts 1 verse 14, so look down the page there. Acts 1 verse 14 is at the top of the second column in this Bible. It says, they all were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So there was a large group, some think 120 people there in that room. And they were gathered together continually in prayer. And then when the day of Pentecost arrived, look at verse 1 of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place, all right? So they weren't at home in their prayer closet alone praying. They were together in one place. You know, whenever the church calls for a prayer meeting, we don't all come together in one place like this on Sunday morning. A few of us come together. I'm not putting a guilt trip on you. Don't get me wrong. But we have already scheduled a time to be together in one place. And that's Sunday morning at 10 o'clock or 10:15 for those who arrive late. But we come together on a regular basis. And when we come together, what I believe the burden on my heart is that that's when we should pray together like they did as the early church, as that early believers. Maybe that's why we're lacking some power or some light in this world. Maybe that's why we feel kind of beaten up and kind of overwhelmed, is because we're not pulling from God the power that he has given us through his Holy Spirit. So they were all together in one place, it says in chapter 2 of Acts. And then the Holy Spirit is given. When the Holy Spirit is then poured out on the church. This is why we call it the birthday of the church, right? It's like the church was born that day. The day when Jesus poured out his Spirit on his people so that they could be his witnesses. He did not pour out his Spirit so that they could have a good time. He did not pour out his Spirit so they could, you know, jump and shout and scream and, you know, jump over pews. He poured out his Spirit so they would be witnesses. Witnesses of what he had accomplished on the cross and through the resurrection. That's what Pentecost is about. You see, in 1:8, you can see exactly what the purpose is. So go back to chapter 1, verse 8. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when it has come on you, you will be my witnesses. Like, you will become instantly my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be. The Holy Spirit comes and makes you into something. A witness. A witness for Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us who have received the Holy Spirit are called to be a witness. Not to start learning about being a witness, but just to start witnessing, testifying, glorifying God with your life. And I believe that united prayer, congregational prayer, prayer together as a church, prepares us to be filled and refilled again and again with the power of the Holy Spirit, so we can share Jesus with others. Not so we can always feel good. Not so everything always goes our way. Not so you can be healthy and wealthy and wise, but so that you can be a witness and share Jesus effectively with those who are lost. That is the heart of God for the world and why he has not yet returned to bring judgment. He has given us a job. He has given us a life in the Holy Spirit where we are to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to Jerusalem and Judea, the local area, but also to the ends of the earth. Look at what happened immediately after these people received the Holy Spirit's power. Immediately. They didn't have to take a class for 10 weeks. They didn't have to read a lot of books. Immediately, they were enabled to, it says in chapter 2, verse 11, so I'm making you bounce around here on this page, but verse 11, they were able to declare the magnificent acts of God in other languages. There were many people there that day from different parts of the world, and they all didn't speak the same language. But God wanted to reach them all. And so he enabled them miraculously to declare the goodness of God, to declare the magnificent acts of God to those who had never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. He gave them that power to do that. And then Peter, it says, Peter, the disciple, the one who had denied Christ three times, he stood up, he raised his voice, he was bold, he wasn't cowering in the corner, trying to hide anymore. Somehow he was bold and he proclaimed the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ so effectively that 3,000 people understood what that meant, turned their hearts to Jesus and were saved that day. And thus the church was born. Now, it is impossible to deny the role of united prayer, what that role was, what role was played in the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. Prayer was a central part of it. Prayer was a foundational part of it. Praying together for God to use them. And that's what I want us to see here this morning. Look at Acts chapter 4. So you will have to turn a page. I hope you don't get too tired. Turn a page. Actually, you're going to have to turn two pages because it's verse 41. But look at Acts, and I want you to see the evidence that God was powerfully working through this church, through his church that day. So in Acts, here we are, verse 31. Of Acts chapter 4. When they had prayed, so again, they had prayed. So not after they sang a song, not after they had some cookies and milk, not even after they read the word of God. When they had prayed, the place where they had assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? They began to speak, not about the Red Sox, not about hockey finals, not about the headlines, not about Trump. They began to speak the word of God boldly. So the Holy Spirit was given to them. It transformed them and made them able to speak the word of God boldly. Are we missing something? We feel intimidated. We feel scared. We feel overwhelmed. We don't want to, you know, upset anybody. We're not as they were. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit and then speaking the word of God boldly. Look back. So turn your page back again to 3. I want you to see something. They were in another prayer meeting. So there's several prayer meetings. Just in this couple of chapters here at the beginning of the birthday of the church, there were several little prayer meetings, big prayer meetings going on. And in 3:1 it says, now Peter and John, they just happened to be going up to the temple. Can you read those words to me? For the time of prayer at 3 p.m. So here's the disciples, again, gathering for prayer. Gathering for prayer. When Peter and John had been arrested after what happens next here, you'll have to read it to fill it in, and then released, it says in 4:24, the people heard what happened, and then they instantly, see the word? Raised their voices together to God, i.e. prayed, right? But they prayed together. So they didn't say like, Pastor Tom, pray, and we'll all listen. Somehow they were able to pray together. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. See, these are all embedded in this story about the power of God to reach the world through his church is a key. Praying together, lifting their voices together, going to the time of prayer together. When they had prayed, this is when the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. And it says, now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and one mind. They weren't divided. They felt like one body together in this thing together. I think praying together helps them to gain that access to being united as the body of Christ. Otherwise, they feel separated from one another. Isn't this true sometimes in our individual prayer lives? You feel like you're the only one praying about whatever it is. And maybe it's your own personal needs, but also the needs of others. The needs of this whole world, the needs of the lost, the needs of the hurting. But when you're by yourself praying for that, it feels different than when you're with others. Because we are meant to do this together. We are meant to pray together. We're not just meant to sing songs together. We're not just meant to listen to sermons together. We're meant to pray together. All of this is an answer to someone who is much greater than us, an answer to Jesus' own prayer to the Father. If you know the prayer, that's fine, but it's in John 17, verse 20 and 21. Jesus prays to the Father. Now, he prays so that the disciples heard him, so I don't think he's completely alone, because somehow they knew that this is what he said, and they were able to write it down and record it for us in the Gospels. But John 17 records for us Jesus praying to the Father, and this is what he says. I pray not only for these, in other words, these disciples who are here with me, but also for all those who believe in me through their word or through their testimony. And here's his prayer. May they all be one. As you, Father, and I are one. You are in me, and I am in you. So we're united, right? May they also be in us. And then the reason that he gives in his prayer, the reason he's asking for this oneness, the reason he's asking for this unity is so that, and this is in John 17, 21, the world may believe that you sent me. So the world may believe that you sent me, make them one. Bring them together so that they can be one heart and one mind. You see, Jesus prayed for our unity because in that unity, the power is released for us to witness to the world in a way that the world understands and can receive salvation. Jesus died to bring as many as possible into the kingdom. He didn't have like a number, like a quota. You got to get, 30,000 people here to heaven, otherwise it won't be fun, right? Unlimited. There's billions of people on the earth right now. Jesus died for every single one of them. Every one of them. And he desires that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. There's plenty of resources to go around in heaven. There'll be no shortages. You won't be fighting people for toilet paper or for bleach in heaven. There's plenty for everyone. There's more than enough. Sometimes I think we just get settled. We're like, well, okay, well, these are the people that are saved and this is good. You know, Jesus can come back now. No, his heart breaks for them just like it broke for you before you found salvation. He doesn't want anyone to perish, to lose an opportunity on heaven, the best place ever. He wants everyone to come. So if asked, many of us would say that we believe in the power of prayer. I know you would. I've heard it. I've said it myself. I believe in the power of prayer. I pray for people because I believe in it. I don't just pray because I think it's a nice thing to do. So we know how important it is to believe that God is at work through his people and through prayer. We read his word. We see his reminders of the strength of our prayers together. But here's the thing. Most days, life's ups and downs, life's busyness, life's struggles, life's worries press in hard, and we are exhausted. We're tired from all that. And so we isolate from one another. We should come together so that the Holy Spirit can empower us and give us his strength and give us his energy to do the work of the gospel. But instead, we're like, I'm too tired to go to prayer. I'm too tired to go to another meeting and pray with believers. I'm sure glad that someone prayed for me. I'm sure glad that they went and prayed with others, so that I could have salvation, so that my family could know Jesus. I'm glad they weren't too tired or too busy. I'm glad they knew that there was power in praying together. I get it. Life just seems to interfere with any commitment we make to pray together. If we said, let's have a prayer meeting, you know, how many people can come on Tuesday? A bunch of you would say, oh, I can come on Tuesday. And then guess what? Monday would happen, and pretty soon Tuesday's plans changed. You can't come. Oh, my sister called and she needed this, or this happened with my kids, or, oh, I forgot about my dentist appointment, and boy, does my tooth hurt. You know, like, things would get in the way, would interfere with whatever commitment we make. It can almost feel like there's a battle, like an enemy who's trying to keep us from praying together. And so he throws all kinds of stuff at us. He just keeps it up. He's like, oh, well, look, try this, try that. Make their car run out of gas. Give them a flat tire. Help them to get a cold. Do something so that they won't pray together. Because if they pray together, I'm sunk. If they pray together, I'll lose more people to the goodness of God if they pray together. So let's just keep them from praying together. Whatever means we can take, let's do it so they won't do it. Let's make them intimidated. Let's make them shy. Let's make them too busy. Let's make them too distracted. Let's make them too burdened. Let's make them too exhausted so they just can't do it. Why? Why? When it's so clearly outlined in Scripture that we are called to pray together and then to witness together to the goodness of God so that the lost can be found. Maybe it's because we don't see the answers to our prayers coming as quickly as we would like. We get discouraged. We think prayer doesn't work. But as Anne said, if I gave her more time this morning, she'd tell you prayer works. Prayer makes a difference. Every testimony you've ever heard is a testimony of God hearing prayers and answering those prayers. Maybe we struggle with not even knowing what to say when we pray. Maybe you struggle because your mind isn't as sharp as it used to be and it kind of wanders away while you're praying. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we don't want to embarrass ourselves. We feel like maybe we're not good enough. or we, at least we're not good at praying with others. My life group, a couple of months ago, we were studying prayer and we were trying to figure out, you know, what are some of the answers here? How do we pray better? How do we learn how to pray together for each other better? But I think maybe the number one thing is that praying together makes some of us uncomfortable. And God forbid we get uncomfortable, right? Our whole life is about being comfortable. The fact that we got air conditioning piping on you right now is to make you comfortable. You got cushions on your seat, so you'll be comfortable. You wore shorts to church, so you'll be comfortable. You got sneakers on, so you'll be comfortable. We're all about comfort. And prayer makes us just a little bit uncomfortable. We're not sure how God's going to answer the prayer. We're not sure when he's going to answer the prayer. We're not sure if we're praying the way he wants us to pray. We're uncomfortable. She prays too loud. She prays too soft. I can't hear because I'm in the balcony. I can't hear because I'm down under the balcony. We can't pray together. There's too many things that make us uncomfortable. The lights are too bright. The lights are too low. The carpet is a hideous color of red. I can't pray in a room like that. Did you see what so-and-so was wearing? I can't pray with her. When we're uncomfortable, it's like our brains are on drugs. Those of you who are old will remember, this is your brain on drugs. Crack, shh. And it was an egg frying in a pan. But don't get distracted. Because it can happen to the best of us. I do think probably the number one reason is just because it makes us uncomfortable. And God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive me for not being willing to be a little bit uncomfortable so that someone can be saved, so that someone can be healed, so that someone can be restored. There's so much potential in us, so many things that God wants to do through us, but we kind of just want to stay comfortable. And I might have to get a little bit uncomfortable in order to get there. So in these days that we live, more than ever, I believe we need to come together as one unified, strong, uncomfortable people. I really do. I mean, look at the world around us, close and far. The globe as well as the neighborhood. Look at it. It's going to hell fast. We need to get a little uncomfortable with that. We need to say, God, no. No, don't send them. Save them. Bring them to yourself. Help them. Heal them. Help me to do whatever I can do to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Because people, we are called to be a praying church. The church was born out of prayer. The church should continue to pray so that the lost can be found. I believe the church has the greatest potential to make the greatest difference in this world. And we're just missing out on it. 3,000 were saved in one day. And then if you keep reading in the book of Acts, a couple days later, 5,000 were added to their number. Thousands of people. There's great potential in praying together and witnessing to the goodness of God, declaring his goodness. They had no microphones. They had no video screens. They had no worship bands. They had no printed Bibles. They had no Bible app on their phone. They had the most important thing, the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And they were united in prayer for the lost, for their families, yes, and for their neighborhoods and for their city and for the world that was lost, that didn't know the good news of Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me, because sometimes this happens when we study prayer. We start to think it's about us praying that makes something happen. And hopefully you all know, only God can make something good happen. We can make bad stuff happen, but only God can make something good happen. It's Him, not us. Scripture tells us that our prayers are powerful because of the one we're praying to. Not because of the way we pray, not because of how we pray or how often we pray, but our prayers are powerful because of the one we're praying to. And the church is stronger together as we encourage one another to pray. When the Holy Spirit unites us, He gives us courage. He gives us boldness. He makes us brave so that we can cover one another in prayer, so that when spiritual attack happens, we're not in it alone, but also so that we can reach out and find ways to bring the goodness of God to those who are lost. Because I believe that the unity of believers through the power of Jesus Christ is a force that can't be reckoned with. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We're living so like weak and anemic because we're missing out on the key to powerful prayer. Coming together in the name of Jesus, putting our faith in the God of the universe to do something. When we pray together, it's like that cord of three strands. It can't be easily broken. It can't be easily broken. Can it be broken? Yes. But it can't be easily broken. So throughout the Bible, God reminds us that we need each other. And this is where we'll land here in a minute. There's a story in the Old Testament that's recorded for us to help us to understand the power of coming together in prayer. The Israelites were facing their enemies. The Amalekites were coming to destroy them. These Amalekites were bad people. They killed for sport. And they were on the attack against God's people. So Moses told them that as Joshua led the people out into battle, Moses would go up on the top of a hill and he'd hold up his staff and pray for them, that the Lord would give them power to defeat this wicked enemy. And God's word tells us that for as long as Moses could hold his hands up, the Israelites were winning the battle. But then Moses started to get tired. He was an old man at this time. He wasn't a youngin' like some of you. He was old. He couldn't hold that thing up there much longer as he prayed. And as his arms got weary and began to droop, the enemy then began to overtake the Israelites. So the geniuses that they were, Aaron and Hur, came up and held up his hands. They gave their strength to him so that he could hold that up and pray. And one on one side and one on the other were able to add to Moses' weakening strength so that he could be strong again. And a miracle happened that day. Even though all the odds were stacked against God's people, He gave them victory over their enemy. The people defeated this very strong and evil enemy. For God is stronger than the enemies. Not the people. The people weren't stronger. In fact, the people were weaker. But as Moses prayed, they received some strength. But when Moses stopped praying or couldn't hold that thing up there and keep praying victoriously, they began to lose. Coming together to pray brings victory. You may have been praying for something for a very long time and you haven't seen anything happen. Well, maybe it's because you're praying all alone. Maybe you're tired and you stopped praying because you think, well, God doesn't want to answer that prayer. They believed in God's power to help them. The weakness of Moses showed that he was not the source of power. God was. God was the source of the power. This story reminds us that some days, Even the best days and even the best of us get weary and begin to fade. Our strength begins to dry up. Even people who know the truth, even those who walk closely with God, Moses knew the truth. He walked closer to God than anyone at that time. Even those who believe in him and those who have seen his power on display, even those people get tired. So don't feel bad because you're human. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about his strength. It's about his ability. It's not about how you pray or how you feel when you pray. It's about God who's listening to your heart. God who wants to hear that you care about the things that he cares about. None of us are immune to getting tired. Life's just hard some days, some weeks, some months. And often there's not even just one big thing that makes us tired. Sometimes it's just all the little battles that drain us, whether it's parenting small children or teenagers, or whether it's your marriage, which isn't the greatest lately, or whether it's a job that you're just miserable in or you can't even find, whether it's relationships that just are rocky, fears that worry you at night. Maybe you've experienced loss recently, loss of loved ones. You're discouraged. You've been fighting an illness. You've got money problems. All of these things can beat us down and wear us out, especially if we're trying to do it alone. But praise God, because he gives us one another to help us when we just can't do it anymore. When you cry out and say, brothers and sisters, I need help. I need help. The love of God compels us to help one another, to pray for one another, to hold each other's hands up, to help, to give encouragement from God's word, and to pray in faith, believing. See, we're all in this life together. Let's help each other. Today, the day that we gather together as one. We don't have to have another meeting, a different meeting, and make you all come to it, because you won't. Believe me, I know. Some do, and bless your hearts. But the rest of you, your life gets in the way. I get it. I don't always make it to prayer meeting. Ask the people on Tuesday morning. Some days I'm there and other days I'm not. Life gets in the way. But when we're together on a Sunday morning, can we try to seek God and find a way to bring support and help and strength, not only to each other in our individual battles, but also to the church, so we can battle this culture and this world and win some for Jesus. Win some who are right now going in the wrong direction. Find a way to bring them into the kingdom. Can we try to do something? So now, it's time for a lab. I talked to you last week about God giving me this thought, this thing in the night, whether it's a vision or not, but this idea that the only way you're going to do it is by trying to do it. So you can read all the chemistry books you want, but until you actually get out the Bunsen burner and all those other things, the chemicals, you can't actually know if that's true. Sometimes I think this is why our faith is sometimes weak, because we're not actually putting into practice the things that we believe. So would you help me? This morning, help us this morning. We want to learn how to pray together as a church. Now, remember, I mentioned the paper earlier. I think I have it here. Yes. We have to differentiate between our Father, corporate prayers, prayers for the body of Christ, prayers for our nation, prayers for our city. Those are public prayers. Those are prayers that we can pray together and all agree together on. and personal prayer. I'm not against personal prayer. I know it's powerful and you need it in your own personal situations. But when we talk about the prayer lab this morning, I want you to really ask the Lord, what do you want us to pray together? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, it doesn't say give me, give us this day our daily bread. See how plural? It's all plural. Not just me, not just what I need, but what do we need? Ask the Lord. Would you do that with me in these next few minutes? We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to take a few more minutes. But even as we sing the song, ask the Lord, what do my brothers and sisters sitting around me need? What do we need as a body? What do we need as a people so we can be bright witnesses for the King of Kings, for Jesus, so that people can find Jesus? You know, a group of us are going down to Worcester right after this, down to the Main Street outreach. We need to be praying for that. We need to pray that the gospel would be understood by people who are fighting addiction or people that are just living in the tough parts of life. So write those down. And here's the prayer lab part. So you're going to write them down. And then if you're on this floor here with me, you're going to bring them down to me. If you're up there, we got our intern, Vinny, is up there. You're going to bring them to Vinny, right? And then before we go today, we're going to read a few of them. We're going to pray a few of them, but we're going to read them because you prayed them, put them on paper. We're going to pray them from the microphone. How's that? Then if you can't hear someone, you'll be able to hear them because we got microphones and we got speakers these days. All right? Okay, so let's switch over to have some lyrics. And we're going to remember that the Holy Spirit is the one who inspires us to pray. When you don't know what to pray, he helps us to know what to pray. So we're going to ask him, how can we pray together? What should we be praying for as a body? What should we be praying for the body? Write those things down, and then we'll pray them before we go home here this morning. Okay? Happy Pentecost Sunday. By your presence, Lord. Thank you so much for participating. We're not going to have time to pray all these, so don't you worry. But Vinny and I are going to pray a few of them. And the rest we'll find another way to share with you and continue to pray. Let's lift up before God all the government officials who are leading our country. Our Father, we ask you to give us the strength to run away from our comforts. And a bandage to what you have called us to do as a church. Pray and guide us on how to serve you boldly in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, would you join me in prayer? Lord, we pray for opportunities to be bold with our faith when we encounter others who may not know you and who may be struggling with the weight of their circumstances. We pray, Father, as a church, that we will be led by your Holy Spirit to pray with the people you place in our path, to stop whatever we have going in our busy lives and lay them down and their circumstances at your feet, to bring them into your presence.
And Father, we pray for our children. We pray that you would bless them. Draw them to yourself. We pray for all our brothers and sisters who are fighting the enemy, are fighting strongholds in their lives, that you give them strength and that we come alongside and offer our strength to their battle. We pray for salvations at South Main Street Outreach today. And we pray that for those who need food, that they would come and receive that through our food pantry and through the ministry today in the streets. Amen.
Father God, we humbly come before you today and ask you to help us as a church to pray together as one, unified by your Spirit for others. Help us to feel unashamed, fearless, and bold when we pray, so that the strength and unity can help us as a church save others. We know that you alone make our prayers answered, and we thank you for that. Through our prayers, help allow us to be softened to hearing the gospel and open to it. Help them to receive the Holy Spirit and may overcome any circumstance in their life. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes. And God, we do ask that you help us to maintain the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Especially here in Central Mass and in our church and other churches like this. Help us to continue to proclaim the goodness of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't let us stray from the message of the cross. Help us to stay strong in the conviction that there is one way, one truth, and one life offered through one Savior and Lord of them all, Jesus Christ.
Lord, we lift before you our small groups. We pray, Father, that they can grow, they can become stronger, that you can help the leaders rise up other leaders, that you can help them go and disciple and create other leaders so that as a church we can meet on Sunday, but we also meet throughout the week growing together in your word and in your love. And we lift up your missionary groups that they can be encouraged and thrusted forward to present the gospel to those who need it, and for our church to be okay being uncomfortable. To be brave and share the good word and plant seeds.
Yes, Jesus. And God, we pray for everyone here today, each and every person. We pray that they would have a personal relationship with Jesus, that they would not just have a historical faith that's been passed on to them by others, by their family, or by their traditions, but they would have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That they would know his love.
Yes.
That they would understand what he did for them. That they would receive the grace and the mercy of God every morning. And they'd be so empowered and excited about it that they wouldn't be able to contain themselves throughout the day. That they could tell others how good God is. That he forgives sinners like us. That he restores us and gives us joy again when we've done nothing but destroy our own lives. Oh God, don't let us keep you at a distance. You gave your Holy Spirit so that we wouldn't have a distance anymore between us and you. You bridged the gap by sending Jesus from heaven to us, because we could never make it to heaven on our own. And Jesus promised he would send the Spirit to be with us always. So we thank you today for your Holy Spirit. We pray that each and every one of us would receive you afresh and anew, that you'd shake our lives up again today, that you'd shake this place again today and fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we're just too full of ourselves, too full of the news, the bad news of this world. And God, we need to be filled with you so that we can be bold and testify about the goodness of God. God, you are good. Thank you for this day. And I pray that this day would build to the next day we get together, and the next day after that, and that we would continue to grow in this area and we begin to understand the power that we're missing out on because we don't pray together. We don't lift our voices as one and pray to our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. He gave his one and only Son to reach us, to save us, and to bring us to himself. So bless us as we go this morning. Continue to work in our hearts. Help us to come together as one again next week and continue to grow in this area, Lord. We lift you up. We magnify you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your Spirit. In Jesus' name.